Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this evening, we're joined by John Parry, who is a driving instructor and director of Parry's Fleet Services.
Services Limited.
Yeah, Services Limited. And he's based in Lancashire, near Wigan, in the northwest of England. So how are you doing today, John? You okay?
I'm not doing so bad, yes. Thanks, Mike. It's been a good day today.
Yeah, okay, that's good. And we've met on Clubhouse, and obviously, I think probably the last 60, 70 guests I've had on my podcast have been from Clubhouse. How are you enjoying the Clubhouse experience?
I'm really enjoying it. Met yourself in there. You've got a great room going. I've got my own room in Clubhouse, so I'm enjoying that as well. And met some wonderful people. I mean, you don't just meet people local that you are trying to look to interact with and do business with, but you meet people from all over the world. I think it's a really good place to be.
Yeah, I love it. I do. I'm big into social media anyway, and speaking and helping and networking and all of that. And it's just all of that in one place, like, you know, so I love it. I do. But obviously, yeah, you've got a health and safety room, haven't you? What day and time do you do that?
So we do the safety spotlight room on a Tuesday evening every week, and it's at 7 p.m.
Yeah, okay, there we are. So if anyone's interested in driving and health and safety and all that sort of stuff, then if you're on Clubhouse, check it out. And if you're not on Clubhouse, get on Clubhouse. What have you been waiting for? I've got lots of invites. If anyone wants to hit me out, I've been chatting in my room a lot more recently, regularly. So I get a lot more invites now because I used to keep them open for long periods of time. So even though I was always on Clubhouse, I wasn't getting the recognition for the amount of activity I was doing, you know. So I thought, actually, I'll change that. But tell us a little bit about your sort of fleet services business. Tell us what you do, how it all come about, and that sort of thing, really.
Okay, so a little background. I used to be 15 years ago as a bus driver, and traveling around, getting to know people on the buses, enjoyed talking to people. But then you get the bad side of bus driving is people try and get on for free. They don't want to pay the fare. They're just always having a go at you because they don't want to pay, or they bring needles out and things like that. So that's a nighttime buses and things that just a lot of people don't see. So I thought I wanted to do something a bit safer, and I really enjoyed driving. So I trained to become a driving instructor. I thought, what a better way to spend your day than to train people what you enjoy doing. And then it doesn't seem like work. It's not work because you enjoy it so much. And 15 years later, I'm still at it. I'm still a driving instructor. And 2 years ago, I created Parry's Fleet Services, which is not just training learner drivers how to drive. This is working with businesses to try and improve the standard of driving out there, because if you look around the country, the standard of driving is not very good.
No, I know.
People don't have training on motorways, even though there's training there possible. There was a survey out the other day, I think it was in one of the papers, said 25% of drivers don't know what smart motorways are. So it's about still trying to pass on the education to drivers. And Parry's Fleet Services works with businesses who have got fleet cars, pool cars, grey fleet or van drivers, because the bus drivers and the HGV drivers, they're looked after with CPC, but the vans and the car drivers don't really get any formal training when they should do, because it's within the health and safety laws.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I used to be a national sales director, and I used to cover all over the UK. I've been to almost every town and city in the country, and I've pretty much witnessed almost everything you can see on a motorway, you know, traveling. I used to travel up and back to Leeds in the same day, and Newcastle in the same day, and regular, you know, your sort of territory, like Wigan and Blackburn and Oldham and Bradford and, you know, Huddersfield and Warrington and all those sort of places. And you know, in fact, the worst stretch of motorway, I think, used to be the M6 by the services. Always stuck in traffic, like, you know. In fact, I learned how to go up, there's like a parallel road from like Crewe to Stoke, or something where you could miss out the motorway sometimes, go yes. parallel up. Yes. So, yeah, that's how much I knew the roads around here. Like, you know, when I've been cut up and the amount of drivers, the thing that annoys me on motorways is when people just stay in the middle lane. It's just okay. for the whole journey.
And that's an endorsable offence now, where you will get points and fine for it. So if you're hogging the middle lane, expect an unmarked police car to come up behind you, an unmarked police car, because it will track you on the cameras and they will come and get you eventually.
No, I think okay. those people just need taking off the motorway. Like, you know, I mean, they're just daydreaming, just not even looking around what's around them, just straight the whole way, like, you know.
Well, better still, they come to me and I train them how to do it properly.
Yeah, well, that's the right thing to do. But, there's some interesting roads. I think London's always the most interesting place to drive, where you've got to have your eyes, you know, pretty much at the 12 angles of the clock. You know what I mean? You've got to look everywhere. You've got to have your eyes in the back of your head. Everything comes from everywhere. Like, you know, that's always an interesting place to drive.
Especially when you're on the M25 and then you're in the left-hand lane and that becomes an exit lane and you want to stay on. And you've got to move over three lanes to stay on.
There's a few of those. Actually, I tell you what, there's a lot of in London as well, is when you're in like the left lane and the right lane, and normally like you'd be straight on, but you're forced to go right. So there's a lot of those sort of...
They bear off right and then they take you around a loop to get off to where you're going.
There's a lot of those as well. Yes, you can end up getting caught in the wrong lane a lot of the time in London, and nobody ever like let you out. And that's why everyone got dents in their cars in London.
Completely different type of driving down in London compared to the rest of them.
It is. They should have a completely different driving test. it's completely different driving, but it's interesting. So you, what sort of companies, you mentioned it a bit, you know, companies with fleets and lorry drivers and that sort of thing, but what sort of industries do you tend to work with and help their drivers to get better at?
So I can work with housing associations and councils who've got fleet drivers driving their vans, for example, gardeners or the people who go around and clean the communal buildings and things like that. I've got a company, Hoover Candy, the electrical company, a nationwide electrical company. We do all the training for their and risk assessments for their drivers who drive their vans, butchers. There's also companies like the Royal Mail. They have all their drivers assessed. All volunteers for the lifeguards and the volunteers who work for the RNLI do their driver training as well. So there's a vast...
Any corporate companies with their sales teams? Because, you know, having been in the world of sales all my life, I've seen a lot of salespeople crash some cars. I think some corporate companies could probably do with their sales guys having some training from time to time.
Yeah, there's a company called Mondi Group. And I'd done all their sales staff and their admin staff and even staff that didn't really drive to for work. They were commuting backwards and forwards. They still put them on a training program as well. So they were trying to look at safety holistically, even in the commutes backwards and forwards, even though they weren't actually driving for work. If the company's willing to invest in their staff like that, you know, we'll make sure that we're coming up. We've got the right staff there. We're prompt, we're on time, we do all the right training. We're all RoSPA Advanced Gold Standard driving instructors that we have around the country.
Yeah. So, you know, like if companies put their drivers through your training and then their drivers, is it a bit like police and ambulance driving? Now you get like an advanced driving qualification. Is there any of that, or is there a benefit in the insurance then for putting them through that training?
Okay, we do the training, which is up to RoSPA standards.
Yeah.
So when they've had the training, they will be then can go on to do the RoSPA charity driving test if they choose to do so. We then, when we've completed the training, we actually deliver a report which goes to the company, which states that they are a low-risk driver. And if they choose to go on to do the driving test after that, the advanced driving test, that's where they get the certificate. But the company themselves will have a fleet policy, a fleet insurance policy. And if they then tell the insurance company who's got that policy that all their drivers have been risk assessed and trained, then they can get a discount on the fuel and on the insurance.
Yeah. Oh, that's
cool. Training also helps with having less accidents on the roads. So they're not claiming on the insurance. So that stops it going up. But it also stops employees being off sick as well. So there's less absenteeism within the workplace.
Yeah, so it's so even though it can cost a bit of money to get you in and train people, it can be cost neutral or cost beneficial over time, I suppose.
True. And when you think of the cost of the training compared to the cost of a fatal collision on the road, if you have got a member of staff who's killed somebody on the road, then there's obviously the investigation, there's the replacement vehicle, there's the replacement of the staff member if he's been or she has been seriously injured. And then you need to replace that staff member. Or if they were the cause of the incident, would they get jail time? So it's then you're looking at the costs of recruiting a new staff member, training them up and all that, which can go anywhere between £30,000 and £40,000 just to get a new staff member on board. But then if you were a director of the company and you hadn't done a risk assessment or training for that driver, then the health and safety executive can come in and have a look at your business to go through all your records. And if you haven't done them risk assessments and training, then they can prosecute you. And if it was a death on the road, then it comes under corporate manslaughter where the company director is also liable for that incident. So they can get fines up to £2 million or jail time. Right. So for the little bit that it costs to do the training, in balance of a £2 million fine and jail time, it covers itself back with all the drivers that you have trained and the fuel savings. You do get that money back eventually.
Yeah. And what are the main areas that you you see, I suppose, established drivers, who've been driving for a while, but then you go in and you train them. What are the main areas you think people need sort of help with, I suppose, the main bad habits that they pick up or the main, maybe the main changes that have happened in the driving world, if you like, that maybe older drivers, people who've been driving for a while, never had to learn in their day, sort of thing?
It can vary for direct driver to driver, but there are some areas that do crop up all the time. One area is theory knowledge, knowing the rules and regulations, knowing rules about driving, knowing the road signs, and knowing the speed limits of the roads without actually seeing the signs. So it's looking around and seeing the type of road you're on and knowing what the speed limit is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are driving using their phones whilst driving, speeding, not wearing seatbelts. These are things that crop up all the time, and we try and educate people to do it better, because those are the type of things that if you are involved in the crash, could lead to loss of life, and that's what we're trying to prevent. We're trying to improve safety and stop people from losing their life whilst out driving for work.
There's nobody going out. The usuals, really, the phone, the speed, and the seatbelts.
Yeah, yeah. And driving too close.
The tailgating. That's an annoying one, that is. That's when you're on the motorways. When you're on motorways and you give yourself that distance and then somebody jumps in your distance. And you have to keep going back. You keep going back all the time to give you distance. That's something that happens a lot on the motorways these days. Like, you know what I mean? You give the 2 second rule or whatever. Like, you know, and someone always jumps in your gap, and it's just so annoying. But people do it all the time.
Yeah, what we try and get there is when people feel annoyed at that, we ask them why they're annoyed at that. Because if they just ease off the accelerator and extend that safety gap back in front of them, it really hasn't cost them any time. And it's just getting them to understand that, you know, why did that driver cut you off? What's that driver's rush?
Well, it's just annoying because you're like, well, I've kept a 2 second rule and then you've just jumped in the middle of it. It's just ignorance by other people, really. That's why it could be a bit annoying. But, you know, it's not a big thing. You just got to drop back again, haven't you? But you just, you know, to me, it's just like, it's annoying because they should know the rules. You know what I mean? They should, you know, for me, I get annoyed by that because I'm just like, well, I always try and make sure that when I'm driving, I don't do things like that. It's just, it's rude and ignorant. I always think, like, you know, people, but there's a lot of rude and ignorant people in this world, unfortunately.
True.
You know, there's no common courtesy, like.
Yeah. And when we're out there training and people are doing that, and we see it even when we're in the vehicles training, and we can tell the drivers are getting a little bit frustrated by it. But what we ask them is, can you control that incident? Can you control that driver moving in front of you? And the answer is normally no. And if you can't control that, why are you worried about it? You can only control yourself. And all you can do then is think about your own journey and getting there safer. And if you think, right, somebody's cut me up, I can't do nothing about it. All I can do is get my safety gap back and make sure that if that driver was to try and brake test me, then I've got that gap there still to stop. Because if that driver's put you up, what's the chances of him doing something more dangerous in front of you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. That's why you're better off just ignoring them and just letting them shoot off or whatever. Like, you know, that's something which I do quite a lot. When you see, you know, when you see people, they come, they're not quite sure which lane they're going to be in. You know, they're hovering in between the lanes and stuff like that. I'm just like, you know, just stay back from them because you just don't know, you know, just, I always expect the unexpected, like, you know what I mean?
That's so true. When people are cutting up lanes or they're dashing around like that, what we say to the drivers is, sales reps, are they going to see customers local to where they live or are they traveling the country? Like you mentioned before, you must be doing 200 miles a day plus. And you're more than likely going to be traveling to areas of the country that you don't live in. So you don't know the roads, you don't know exactly where you're going, and you're thinking about the sales meeting, you're thinking about what you're going to be doing with your client when you get there. So your mind really isn't on the drive. So if we take that into account and go, well, hang on, what's that driver going through? What's that driver thinking about? And then if we just think of the other driver in a different way and go, well, can I control any of that? No. Then just sit back, relax, and get out your way.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually like to stay well clear of them, especially if it's a truck, because you get quite a lot of lorry drivers who don't know where they're going, and then in a much bigger vehicle, you don't want to get tangled up with one of them. So, you know, I'm very aware, if you like, on the motorway, because I've been driving for a long time. I just make sure I'm always looking at everything, whereas I think some people do just go into that that autopilot mode where they're just not looking at what's going on around them. But I'm always very hypersensitive because the motorway is a very dangerous place, really. And especially when you've got some people who got no consideration for other people on them, which is happens quite a lot. You know, right. I'm always hyper vigilant when I'm on the motorway because, you know, you get so many, you know, foreign drivers, drunk drivers, tired drivers, you know, you get a bit of it all. You know, that's why My attitude is just expect the unexpected. Anything can happen at any time and be alert, like, you know.
And that's all we train people to do is to be ready, to be expected.
Yeah.
Because we don't know them other drivers. We don't know where they've come from. Truck drivers are traveling, you know, 4.5 hours before they get to where they're going. How far in the country can you travel in 4.5 hours? You can travel a long distance.
Long way. Yeah.
And then are they bursting for the toilet break? They're trying to get to the next services because they've been driving for 4 hours. They do get a little fatigued when they're at the end of the shift and they're nearly home and they've been driving for 9 hours. And, you know, foreigners, they're looking for a place to park up. They don't know the area and they're thinking, where can I get to park up safely? There's a lot of different things that we try and help drivers consider whilst they're out there. To then try and make them feel more relaxed as they're driving. And if they're more relaxed when driving, they're actually paying more attention because they're not stressed and angry towards other drivers. They're being more observant and looking further down the road and anticipating what could happen and then keeping themselves safe whilst they're out there.
That's the other thing which people don't do is they don't adjust for the weather as well. Like, you know, that's the big one as well that you see you know, when you're on the motorways a lot and it's peeing down with rain and the rain's going faster than the wipers can go and all that sort of situation. They don't slow down enough. These are all the things I observe as a driver just when you're out and about, like, you know, when you've done a lot of miles, like you say, I used to do, you know, hundreds of miles a day, 3 times a week, sometimes 4 times a week. you know, and you see a lot that, you know, you see the loose loads and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And you see...
I was just going to say, after you've traveled that long of a distance in a day, how do you feel when you get home? You know, you've got your family at home. How do you feel after you've done that amount of mileage a day? Plus your job on top of all that mileage.
You feel tired if you've done a lot of mileage in a day, and you feel sometimes with the motorways, depending on which motorways you're on, but definitely like the M6 and the M25, or whatever, you feel, thank God I'm home. without incident, sometimes you feel relieved a lot of the time.
And then you've got family members there, and you've got children at home, and they're, and your partner's asking you to do different jobs because they've been in the house all day, and you think, oh, I'm just tired, I just want to relax. If you're more relaxed on the road, when you get home, you're not as stressed and you're not as tired. You maybe be able to do a lot of things when you're at home as well, and enjoy family time when you're at home.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So there's lots of good reasons to get yourself more comfortable with driving. If you're doing it as a job, get comfortable with driving, get more relaxed, and then you're going to come back a happier person because of the extra training that you had.
Yeah. So not only do we make you safer on the roads, more ability to do your job better, but you have a better family life at home too.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So if anyone's out there with a fleet or a load of lorries or vans or whatever vehicles they're driving for their work, and they got a load of drivers who could do with some training, then check out John and the great work that he does. And I'm sure there would be some benefits, lots of benefits of engaging with the Parry's Fleet Services.
Yeah, Parry's Fleet Services.
And getting your staff to be happier and more comfortable at the wheel.
That's brilliant.
So how do people get in touch with you? You mentioned obviously Clubhouse in your room. How do they get in touch with the company, follow you on socials, all that sort of thing, if they want to sort of engage with you and find out more about what you're doing?
Yeah, I've got a LinkedIn account, so it's John Parry on LinkedIn, and then I also have my website, which is parrysfleetservices.co.uk. I also have Facebook pages as well. But mostly it's LinkedIn. I'm active on there a lot. At Clubhouse, I'm active in there a lot. Or my phone number, which is 0706-382-638. Or email, which is john@parrysfleetservices.co.uk.
Yeah, is that UK-wide as well, John?
Yeah, nationwide, we've got driving instructors across the country. So anywhere across England, Scotland and Wales, we can get to you, whatever your business is. Or if you don't want your drivers picking up from work because it's easier to collect them from home, we can do that as well.
Okay, good. And what's the sort of longer term plans? What are you looking to, just keep growing? You're looking to get into anything else? You know, what's the sort of the future look like for you, John?
Yeah, as we start to take on more customers, we will look at further down the line, looking at other aspects of health and safety and bringing in more motorway training. I've been talking with some of the Highways England officers at the moment, and there's a chance there that we may be looking at doing some work together to try and increase motorway driving tuition and driving lessons for the motorway for people who drive for work. I'm also working with a solicitor at the moment who has got people who have got points on their license, or they've been caught speeding or using their phone, and they're at risk of losing their driving license, but they need it for work. So what me and the solicitor are doing at the moment is we're working together by training these drivers, and some of them are showing the courts that they've actually done this course, and they're not having the license revoked and not getting the bans. So it is helping people keep their driving licenses too. And if we can do so later on, as we grow, we may look at getting CPC accreditation where we can start looking at training some more buses and HGVs.
Yeah, okay. And they don't do motorway driving as part of the driving test, do they?
No, they don't do it as part of the test, but learner drivers can go on the motorways. They've been allowed to go on the motorways now for about 2 years.
Okay.
And not every driving instructor is taking learners on the motorway. for the fact that the motorway is just too far away from where they live. So the length of time, 2 hours on a driving lesson, might not be enough to get to a motorway and get back home. So it's about the length of time that's needed for the motorway lesson. And that's why they can't do it on a driving test either. Because if an examiner's only got a 45-minute driving test, it's about 38 to 40 minutes plus a bit of paperwork. Then if they get stuck on a motorway due to a breakdown, then they're not going to make it back to the test centre to take the next driving test out. So that's why,
they don't do it. But I think that's a bit weird, though, isn't it? Because the most dangerous part of probably driving is on a motorway. Would you not think so?
No, the most dangerous roads to drive on are the rural roads.
Okay, yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Because they're 60 miles an hour and people go 60 when it's only 30, when it's only really suitable for 30 or whatever, like, you know. But they're dangerous, especially when they're poorly lit or whatever. But motorways, though, you know, you can go on a motorway without any training, if you like, on for driving, yeah, and without it being part of your test, and you can cause, you know, like a 50 car pileup or something, like, you know what I mean? So the effect, so when I mean dangerous, it may not be the most regularly dangerous, if you like, in repetition, but it can cause some serious damage, like, you know what I mean?
Well, the way we tackle that with learner drivers is, if we can't get to a motorway, and where I am round Wigan and Ormskirk and Skerm, we've got quite a good motorway network. But there's some areas, like on the Welsh coast, on the west coast, it's hours before they can get to a motorway. But there's plenty of access to dual carriageways. So what we do is we train on dual carriageways if we can't get to motorways, and we explain the differences. Dual carriageways has got roundabouts and traffic lights that you can watch. So you're just taking them away and it's just one continual road.
Yeah.
The issues when it comes to motorways is because they're wider and they have a higher volume of traffic or traveling at a higher speed. But that's when you've got to be looking further ahead to see what's going on ahead of you so you can prepare early enough. Now, there is issues with smart motorways at the moment because the technology wasn't implemented correctly on the smart motorways, and also the refuse areas where people break down and can get into have been spaced out too far. So there is a lot of issue about smart motorways at the moment and how smart they actually are. They are going to be reviewing it and they are going to make some changes. So there are issues with smart motorways, and I feel it for all the families who have had people who have been caught out and broken down on the smart motorways and killed due to them. But that's an infrastructure issue as well as a driver issue. So smart motorways are going to be getting looked at. But in general, the rural roads where you drive faster, you've got sharper bends, you've got horses, you've got tractors.
Mud, bushes, you know, mud, potholes.
They are the more riskier roads and the more dangerous roads.
Yeah.
The reason why you hear about it so much on the motorway is because that's where all the volume of traffic goes. So they try and get any incidents on the motorway, they try and tell everyone about it so they can avoid it and go different ways around.
Those are the ones you see a lot of flowers and stuff on the sides of motorways, as you sometimes see the signs. This is a hot spot area, you know, 2000 whatever incidents since last year or whatever, you know, they're the ones where they're bad, aren't they, where they have those yellow signs up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But
a lot of people on smart motorways and motorways in general as well are not obeying the signs on the motorway. So they'll go past the red X. Instead of moving over before they go past the red X sign. Red X means lane is closed. You shouldn't pass that sign in that lane because you've got Highways England, you've got recovery drivers down there, and they're working in that area. And then you come past at a high speed, you're risking the lives of the crews that are working down there, especially the Highways England and recovery crews who are trying to help a stranded family.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. So, lots of useful information there. Hopefully, some of my listeners and YouTube watchers can get some useful information from there. And hopefully some of them may need some fleet training. So thank you very much, John, for coming on the podcast and sharing some of your knowledge and wisdom about driving and safety. And look forward to seeing you again in Clubhouse sometime soon, maybe even this evening.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thank you for having me on. And yeah, I'll chat later on in Clubhouse. I'm sure I'll be back there later on this evening too.
Yeah, brilliant. And I just noticed a minute ago, I had, the Welsh dragon entered my hood, which is interesting. But go on.
I have Welsh family. I have the Welsh family flag tattooed on my arm. So I have a little Welsh with me too.
Oh, is it? Oh, fair enough. I've never had a tattoo, but if I was going to have a tattoo, it was going to be on the Welsh dragon. So now I'm starting to get known as the Welsh dragon on Clubhouse, and maybe after I've it done now, I'll have to have a screw the big rooms and a Welsh dragon above it or something. I'll have to see. I'll have to get a screw the big rooms logo done, because I'm thinking about getting some T-shirts and caps and mugs and different stuff. So I'll get some Screw the Big Rooms merchandise and some Welsh Dragon merchandise, and maybe come up with a Screw the Big Rooms coat of arms, Welsh Dragon coat of arms or something.
All sounds brilliant. All sounds brilliant.
I'll get that done and then I can have that tattooed on my arm.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for having me, Mike.
No problem at all. Thanks for coming. And I will make it to your room one Tuesday, I guess. But I might have to wait until I got some more coverage on my room. But I do get out of my room occasionally, not very often, but occasionally. I've been in the Irish room all day today, although I've been mostly in my room speaking. I've just been listening to the music in the other room. But that dates this programme, this episode, to St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. And I'll see you online soon then, John. All the best.
Take care, Mike. Thanks very much.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
All right.